Ask the Podcast Coach for May 31st, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's like Christmas around here. I'll explain that in a minute. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach Show, where we get your podcasting questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me over there is Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Good, Dave. More entertainment than should be allowed on a Saturday morning.
I'm thinking, and I'm laughing because I watched on YouTube. If you actually watch this on YouTube, it's really boring because I say, ask the podcast coach for the thing, and then you watch the side of my head as I turn 12 billion knobs to get the show off the ground. And but I know I said it's like Christmas around here. I was actually giddy last night. And one of the things I'm going to say here, just starting off, that I totally took for granted, and I didn't tell Jim I was going to say this. Dude, thanks for being the co-host of this show. And I read a book called Top of the Morning. Actually, I listened to the book. It's all about the morning wars between Good Morning America and the Today Show. And the hassles you can get with co-hosts. I was like, it's so cool that I wake up, I fire up the Google Hangout, you show up, you listen to me sing, and you bring the goods, and it's all good. And I was like, wow, I never realized that having a co-host could be such a pain in the butt. And I get excited thinking about this show. Just in general, I like doing it. Saturdays are cool. And so there you go. Yeah. So this is like Christmas for me.
You're very welcome. I enjoy doing this every Saturday morning. It's a lot of fun. And you're right. Co-hosts are very difficult sometimes to find and to keep. You know, I've talked to a couple podcasters that have tried starting their own show, and just finding the co-host who will be consistent. That is super hard because, you know, not everybody has the passion like you do to do this. And, you know, we do it in my case, I have weekly shows that we do, and this is weekly, and it's tough to get somebody to show up every single week and make it happen. So you're welcome. It's great to be with you. I enjoy doing this as much as I think you do. So we have a good time together.
And we should say that if I got smart this week, little peel back the curtains here. On the button that I pressed to play the jingle for the call-in number, I now have, here's a novel idea, the call-in number. So instead of looking around and going, what are they calling again? So yeah, if you'd like to get your questions answered, the number is 845-262-2401. Again, that number is 845-262-2401. We look forward to hearing from you. And of course, you can always find us out at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And we have a little chat room going out there that feed us information and things like that. But yeah, the other thing about having a co-host is the fact that just the scheduling thing. We've been doing the podcast review show. And so it used to be it was a little easier to schedule because of me and my wife. And now it's myself and Eric K. Johnson, who's, I think, an hour or two behind me. I forget exactly where. But then we're trying to bring the actual people on that we're reviewing. And that is not a lot of fun. When the more you add, the harder it gets. And now we're trying, somebody ordered a review from the UK. So that's going to be interesting. I think we finally figured out we'll probably do it on a Saturday after this show, because it's like 7 p.m. over there by the time it gets to like noon our time or something like that. So the co-hosting thing is cool. It's definitely, it's like anything else. It's got its pros and its cons. So, I do have, you want to hear some fun news? Here we go. I have cheesy sound effects for this even.
Woo! Woo!
That's right. In about a week, I'm going to go crazy because my wife and my stepkid, are going out of town.
Ooh,
it will be Dave gets to be podcasting 24/7. That'll be great fun. So that's new and exciting. But yeah.
Get some time to catch up. That's always when I, you know, you gotta be careful, because last year my wife went out of town for a couple weeks. She came your way, Dave. She was down in Kentucky. Yes. And so I used that time. I went out and tore a deck apart and reconstructed it and started a project that would take me about a year. I'm still kind of wrapping it up right now, of weekends. So it's you got to be careful when the family goes out of town. One must be careful.
Yeah. Well, we actually have a caller. Let's go ahead and throw them on the air. Ending in 8034. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Dave. This is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness. How are you?
How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Hey, I had a quick question about iTunes.
Okay.
I'm trying to give my guests the opportunity to review the podcast and leave me some feedback on iTunes, but I can't seem to find a good link to send them to without them having to go into the iTunes store itself. Do you know if there's another way to do that?
Yeah, what I do is there's a free plugin called PrettyLink. I believe the free version is called PrettyLink Lite, and I can never remember if PrettyLink is one or two words. And what it does is, like, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, it will take you right to... Now, unfortunately, God bless Apple, it used to be it would send people right to iTunes, the program. Now it sends people to iTunes, kind of the web-based version of it, to where they then have to say, show this in iTunes. So they've made it a two-click process, where it used to be a one-click process. And what you can do is you go into iTunes, search for your podcast. If you right click on it, you'll see a link there. I think it says podcast link or something like that. I forget the exact verbiage, but you'll see when you right click on your album art, it'll give you a link. Take that link, go into PrettyLink Lite, and you can say, look, here's what I'm going to name this. So for me, I named it iTunes, and it's just your website / whatever. And then underneath of it, you'll have a button or a box where you paste the really ugly URL. And that way, when people go to, what's your website, Steve?
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
Okay, so if it was OutsideHealthAndFitness.com/iTunes, it would take them right there. Now, the thing that's weird about this is on your website, you can make a link, and instead of HTTP, if you make it, and yeah. I'm dusting off cobwebs, I think it's ITMS, if I remember right. If you make the link ITMS, if they have iTunes loaded, it will take them right to your listing in iTunes. The bad news is you can't use that link in PrettyLink because it's going to go, what's ITMS? It's looking for HTTP. So depending on how you do that, but there's another, I forget the other one. We're talking stuff from like 2007. There's another way you can link to iTunes that's not ITMS. I forget what it is. ITTP, I think. But it's bad because it will let people subscribe. It'll immediately subscribe them to your show, which people are like, that's awesome. One-click subscription. The bad news is it doesn't count because they didn't have to click the subscribe button. It's kind of a weird Apple thing. But that's how I would do it to make that link because it is ugly. It's like, okay, all you have to do is go to https://phobies.whatever the thing is. And that's usually how I make all my stuff. And be careful with that. I think that's what got me in trouble with Amazon is I was telling people go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon. I still, to this day, do not know exactly. I mean, I know a couple things that I was doing that were a little gray, but that's how I would make easy links. And like if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/MySpeed, today's show is brought to you by MySpeed. This is where you can speed up online videos up to 3x and save yourself time. That's how I do that. Good old PrettyLink.
Awesome.
Now you got an ad in there, Dave. Nice work.
I did. Listen, I'm like, hey, you know what? Hey, let's get that out of the way. So, and Steve, I got to tell you, I saw on Google Plus today, you put a cool video of Muhammad Ali ducking 21 punches in 10 seconds. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I grew up.
Isn't that cool?
When I grew up, back in the day, there were two things that were constant. Nixon was president and Ali was the king. And, shortly thereafter, Nixon resigned and, Ali got his butt kicked. But for a while there, that was like two constants in my life. And I was a huge Muhammad Ali fan. If you want to read a good biography, I think his daughter helped him write one. Really interesting dude. So, but I'm getting off topic. Any other questions we could help you with?
No, that's great, Dave. I really appreciate the help with that. And I will, I'll check it out. Thanks to you and Jim for doing an awesome show. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Look forward to it every Saturday.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah, there's a question in the chat room, Dave. You have to have iTunes to leave iTunes review. You can't. I don't think there's a way to do it any other way. You just have to have iTunes installed, and that kind of makes sense, right? That's Apple's infrastructure. That's how they're going to validate your username, all those kinds of things. So, it's one of those things. Same thing when you click on that link and it takes you to that landing page, a web-based landing page. And if you don't have iTunes installed, I just tested it because I just built a brand new PC and I don't have iTunes on it yet. It will give you the opportunity to download iTunes. Oh, if you do, it will just say, click here to open this in iTunes.
So. Yeah, I hate that in Chrome. It's like, just do it. Where it's like, do you want to launch the application? I'm like, just do it. It's now three clicks.
Yeah, well, it's that user experience thing where they want to make sure people know what they're doing before they go and do it. So,
I also want to say we got feedback since we're kind of doing some feedback here. Randy Cantrell sent us and said, hey, I'm a longtime listener, no time caller. Just a quick note for you on the great content you provide at the School of Podcasting and Ask the Podcast Coach. It's not much, but it's a token of appreciation. And he actually has a podcast because I said, hey, cool, thanks so much. And it's where'd it go? LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Really interesting podcast where he just kind of tells stories. And it was totally had me sucked in this morning. He was talking about the music that he listened to growing up. So Randy, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Always good to get feedback from the listeners. That's always helpful to us. So appreciate that. We were talking about co-host Dave, I think, just before the call, I think the key, and you kind of mentioned this in your, just before we took the caller, is that a set schedule I think is super important. And Alan out in chat was talking about this. It's really hard. I think you've got to decide on if you're going to go weekly or whatever you're going to do, you got to decide on a set schedule and a time, and then you got to give it a couple months for everybody to get adjusted to that. Because I know when I was on a podcast every Wednesday night, 7:30 Central for 3 years. And then he changed the schedule to Tuesdays. And for 3 years, I had moved. I mean, I had made people rearrange public events so that they wouldn't miss me, you know, that I could go to it. I'm like, hey, could you just move this to Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays? Because I podcast on Wednesdays. So, I mean, I had people moving mountains for me so that I could be at these events and not miss the podcast. Well, it takes a while to unwind that as well. And so you've just got to, I think it's one of those things, you can't set the schedule, know it's going to be rocky for maybe the first 3 to 6 months as you get everybody set, but eventually everyone will get their, you know, their schedule set. It's like, great, if you can set it in April and know by August, you're probably going to be locked in because, you know, so you're setting school schedules, you're setting timings for things. And then I think where you're at in life, right? If you've got kids, there's probably going to be some nights of the week where school, I mean, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are probably out for you. That's when schools do everything. So maybe Monday night, right? Maybe Friday night, maybe Saturday mornings. This works for you and me. It works kind of naturally, right? We never decided on a time. You just started testing this out. I just started joining you and we just did the show, but it works for both of us. And I've moved things around. I've been missing. There'll be a time when you're not going to make a Saturday morning. We'll just cancel it. Right. So, but we have a schedule.
I'm glad you said that. Probably somewhere in the next 3 weeks. I haven't figured out exactly when and how yet, but, my fifth wedding anniversary is coming up here shortly. And, I believe my wife and I are going out of town and I don't think she would be down for like, honey, can we fire up the laptop and, you know, come on, you can be on the show. No.
I used to do that kind of stuff when we were on vacation. Like, oh no, I'm going to podcast from Starbucks, you know, it's like, just take the week off.
Yeah.
Nobody's hanging on your every note that you can't take a week off. So I always tell people I podcast about 50 out of 52 weeks a year. You gotta take some time off.
Yeah, I think it would be a good way to get divorced. Just like, oh, and then, you know.
Oh, man, my wife has put up with so much crap with me and my podcasting. Let me tell you, she's a saint.
Yeah. So we haven't figured out, because she's actually, when she's leaving, we're actually not going to be together on our actual anniversary. So we're trying to figure out if we're going to be before she leaves or after. Easy for me to say, the weekend before or after our actual anniversary. Will be when she's out of town. So we'll figure that out, when that happens. So, I did want to, give a shout out to Mike Phillips. The last episode, if you go to schoolpodcasting.com/410, I kind of addressed the whole SoundCloud issue. Cause everybody's like, ooh, it's shiny and new. Look, it's SoundCloud. And I am starting to see, I'm starting to notice something. Number one, cause people are like, well, Pat Flynn, and for the record, I'm a Pat Flynn fan. I like his show. But his new one, Ask Pat, he's using SoundCloud. And I happen to notice that soon he's going to have for sale an Ask Pat player, which, of course, ties into SoundCloud, which you can't do. You can't make a, I guess you could make a player that ties into Libsyn or Blueberry, but at this point, it's tying into SoundCloud. And then the other one I mentioned on the show, that there's an Appadippity theme, Joey Kissimmee, who is making a theme. So here again, he has something to sell. And oddly enough, both those guys are like, hey, SoundCloud is kind of cool. Now, Pat hasn't really come out and said SoundCloud is cool, but it's just when somebody of a Pat Flynn nature does that, a lot of people are like, well, if he's doing it, and I can understand that. But so I kind of dug into it. And what was really cool is I spent about a month looking into the different hosts and such. And one of them was Podbean. And, I also talked about Podomatic, and Jim, I know you have a point about that coming up here in a second, but, it was cool. Cause I threw out this stuff and, Mike Phillips, I found out that Podbean, even though they do not list their, address on their website. And for about 3 months, I tried to find out where they were. And I finally found this address, and they're in Delaware somewhere. And Mike Phillips then went and Googled it and found out that that is a virtual office. So I actually went to the place that hosts the virtual office and said, you know, is there any way I can find out, like, cause I actually went to Google Earth and went to 405, whatever the street was. And on the street sign of this business complex, there's nothing that says Podbean. And I'm like, okay, it is Google Earth. That doesn't mean that could be from 2012 or something like that. And so I thought that was just interesting that I found what I thought everything you ever wanted to know. And then Mike Phillips was like, oh, by the way, that one is a virtual office, which doesn't mean it's not a real office. It just means it could be not a real office. And then the other thing, of course, when you do anything, yeah, with solo lawyers, yeah, because it makes you look a lot more. It's like, I forget the one service that you can, it's a phone number and you could have it, you know, make it sound like you're a big office, even though you're not. And then the other fun thing that has changed, and this is where I'm just like, people don't know, I don't want to say they don't know what they're talking about, but I don't know if they have firsthand knowledge. When I was playing with SoundCloud, you had to switch to their old interface, which was kind of a hassle, and then click on a button in just a certain place to get the download link to your direct MP3 file. And I thought I was going crazy because I'm like, I keep doing the same thing and I just keep getting the download. And to make a long story short, that feature went away and I emailed their support, which did get me back in less than 24 hours. And they said, oh yeah, here's your RSS feed. You can dig it out of there. And I just thought, wait, you guys have been in beta for 3 years, and to get the MP3 file, I got to dig through the code and find it. And they were really nice. They said, you know, they sent me a screenshot with this little, you know, red box. Here is your MP3 file. But I just thought, wow, that was kind of interesting. So it's going to be interesting as things change. But yeah, SoundCloud is.
Well, it's the for whatever reason, and as you mentioned, Pat Flynn, maybe that's where I what I can't figure out is where everybody's hearing about it from. I mean, SoundCloud's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And and they just recently changed their pricing structure to make it more favorable to podcasters.
Right.
And so, but I mean, we've talked SoundCloud off and on, but it seems like in the last couple weeks, months, maybe, there's been this deluge of questions, especially in the forums, you know, in the Google Plus forums, Facebook, about, hey, I'm thinking about SoundCloud. I'm thinking about SoundCloud. I'm thinking, you know, everybody's thinking about using SoundCloud as moving to it. And so I was just kind of wondering, man, what broke loose that caused everybody, they're doing some super good marketing, or someone's doing some super good marketing for them, because I can't imagine why so many people are considering it. I think it's a great platform. I mean, it's got some real benefits to it. I'm gonna go, you know, I listened to your show last week, and first of all, taking on head-to-head comparisons of those services in an audio podcast format is really difficult, and you did a nice job of getting it all, because it's really hard. It's a hard thing to do in that format. And when I saw the episode, I'm like, I wonder how he's going to do that. Cause it's head-to-head comparisons like that are tough. And there's opinion involved in it. Some of the stuff in there, it's not, you know, you still have to make an opinion call. Right. You're kind of like, this is what I like, and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Just to let you know, if you're in terms of like the massive traffic that you get on SoundCloud, our last episode, and it's been up there for 3 days, the one where we talked about Get Noticed, 6 plays.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so let me say this. I mean, okay. I think this is, and I don't know if you specifically addressed this enough on your show. But with any other platform, I think it's a little bit unfair, Dave, for you, and I'm not trying to sound harsh, but I think it's a little unfair to just put it up there, not advertise it, and expect listeners to come, right? If you gave as much effort to that SoundCloud file as you gave the rest of your podcast,
right,
I think you'd see more plays in it. So I don't know if that's a valid...
Well, that's absolutely true. What I'm trying to point out is, and that's why I'm purposely not promoting it, although I do occasionally, like I'll throw it out in Google Plus and things like that, is just the fact that if you think just being on SoundCloud, like there's all this traffic and it's just going to spill over into your stuff. It's like, no, it's like any other, you know, in the same way that I have to promote my Libsyn stuff and my website, if I'm not pimping my SoundCloud file somewhere, it's not going to get heard. In fact, I threw a bunch of old podcasts up there and most of them have one play. And I'm pretty sure that's me.
Yeah, that's you going back and making sure it works. Yeah. So I think that's an important point, is that you just can't go to SoundCloud and expect, they're just going to come. You have to promote that venue. And why would you, you use Libsyn, but you don't ever promote Libsyn for the most part. We're going to get emails on this. From a standpoint of like, come hear my Libsyn feed, right? You don't say that. You're like, come hear my podcast, right? Or come listen to my show, as opposed to come listen to my show on SoundCloud. It seems like there's a little bit of like SoundCloud itself is the advertising piece on that. And I don't think that's true. I mean, it can be a good host provider for you. I think your points about, are they going to be financially viable? I think you got to ask that with any service you get into. I mean, we don't know what's going on under the covers over there at Libsyn. I mean, that they are charging they still have some pretty good pricing for some fairly unlimited. Now they kind of limit it, but you can put a lot in your back catalog there. And so, you just have to be careful with any service you go into. Nobody could stay around forever. And you better have a backout plan no matter who you're going with. Right. If you're on Libsyn today, or if you're on Blueberry today, or if you're on SoundCloud today, or Podomatic, or whatever, you better have a backup plan, regardless of the company. You know.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Mike mentions in the chat room, I thought they were kicking out the free people. Justin TV kicked out their premium partners, and I was like, why would you kick out the people that were actually paying you stuff? So I'm that was a head scratcher. I haven't dug into that.
I think he's moving in a different direction.
But I was,
that's for a whole nother show.
Yeah. But I
yeah,
was,
well, I you was, just better have, you just better have a plan. I mean, I think you really have to think through like a business continuity plan to say, okay, what do we do what would I do if all of a sudden I didn't have access to, I mean, one of the reasons why I stay on all the networks that I'm on, and I'm thinking I think I'm going to add SoundCloud to my list of evangelistic sites, right? Mm-hmm. I use Podomatic, I use Audioboo, I use Spreaker. I started with Mixlr and I haven't really gotten consistent with that, but I may add SoundCloud in there as well, is because then I can stay current with them and I kind of understand what's going on. I don't use any of them as my primary source, but Dave, this week I was looking at my Podomatic numbers, and I know, Podomatic's the devil and all that stuff. And I totally disagree with you on that, but we know why, right? I use it for an evangelistic tool, and I delete, I use the free plan, and I keep about 5 or 6 episodes up there, and I delete the bottom one and add one to the top. Well, I noticed the red bar, I get 15 gig of bandwidth per month for those podcasts. And I've never met that. I've never ever met that. And this week it was 14.9, warning, you're going to run out of bandwidth. And
really?
I went, what the heck? Never have I done that. And so I looked into it, and sure enough, my numbers are up. Now, numbers being up, bless you, numbers being up are as relative, right? I get between 50 and 75 plays per episode on Podomatic.
But really?
And it's been something that's just been creeping up, right? Started at 20, 30, 40, 50. And it's all of them are the same, which kind of leads me to believe I have some consistent listeners out there on Podomatic, right? And I don't want to alienate them for 50.
Right.
But I'm getting to the point now. I just posted a show this morning. And when that thing goes live, they'll get the notification, hey, Jim's show is out there. Go listen to it. They may get blocked because I've run out of bandwidth and it doesn't reset until June 3rd, I think, right? And so the question I have is, is it worth our 75, let's say 50, our 50 listeners, solid listeners, worth $10 a month? And do I upgrade my plan there so I don't alienate the 50 solid listeners that I have out there? It's a It's the first time I've ever come across a dilemma like this.
For $10?
$10 a month.
Yeah, I'd do it. $10. I mean, it's, you know, I spend that in Mountain Dew in a week.
Well, and I'll get stats too. That's one of the things, right? On the free plan with Podomatic, you don't get any stats. By the way, I haven't done any. I mean, all I've done is post my show out there. I haven't posted it on my Facebook page. I haven't posted it on my. I've done some things, but I have gained these listeners organically on Podomatic, and it's really interesting wondering where they're coming from. And I guess I would want to double check and make sure. Maybe I should put out a special thing on Podomatic that says, append it to my audio that says, hey, I'd like to know you're actually listening, because this is odd. Can you send me a note? Would you give me some feedback and just feed that to my Podomatic feed? You know, put that in the very beginning of that Podomatic file.
Send me an email with the phrase drink more milk in it, and I'll know it came from you.
Yeah, or something like that. I'd love to hear from you. But it is one of those things where, you know, as you look at the various platforms, and I'm a big believer in just getting on as many platforms as you can, but I take advantage of the freeness of them, right?
Yeah.
And I've actually extended it. Apparently, I've extended it beyond its freebiness. So $10, I'll have to take a look at it.
Yeah, Ryan has a point that it's not the one $10 a month. It's the second and the third and the fourth. That's like domain names for me. I was like, oof. You know, I finally started thinning the herd. But I know I still have the Uber conference. I'm still paying them $10 a month. I'm not even using it. I need to cut that back. I use it like for my Logical Losers Accountability Club. But I'm like, you know, I think those people could put in a PIN number. I don't really need that. I did forget to mention one other thing about SoundCloud, that it's kind of weird. If you go to the player and you click download, they meet my criteria of whatever I uploaded is what I download. What I found out, which was really weird, is when you go to the RSS feed, they rename your file. And I was like, why would they? So I'm like, not that it's that big a deal, but again, I'm like, just don't mess with my file. And I'm like, and they do. And I'm like, that was the other thing I found out that I didn't realize, because before I wasn't digging through my RSS feed to get the MP3 file. So really odd stuff. But
you can, you know, one of the things we don't talk about in our community very much, and I think it's a missing option that a lot of people don't want to dig into, but you can self-host your media.
Yeah.
And you can purchase a plan through one of these providers that's out there, Bluehost or any of those, right? Any of those kind, GoDaddy, whatever, whoever want to be a host provider. And I'm actually going to set up here when I get some time, I'm going to set up my own video RSS feed on Azure, Windows Azure, or Microsoft Azure now, and see, just kind of see what that is. But you could set up your own costing. And it's not, I think you can do it for a similar price that you're paying Elipson, you know, $20 a month. That's a lot. That buys a lot of hosting, actually, $20 a month.
Yeah, it does.
On some of those services. And so now the drawback is, you know, it's all integrated with Libsyn. And so you get those stats and all the other things that you guys talk about. But I self-host. So I don't use a commercial host provider for my MP3 files. And I pull the stats from, you know, I have a Blueberry account, and that's where I get my stats from. So you don't have to. I told you I'd mention this, Dave, and I feel like I'm calling you out today. I really don't. I hear you said these nice things to me about being the host.
Here's one, because somebody asked me, I was talking about, your ears were probably burning earlier this week. And I said, here's one of the things I really like about Jim. I said, number one, we're kind of like very similar in many ways. I said, but he doesn't agree with a lot of the stuff. We do have difference of opinions. I said, and so it's cool to get a difference of opinion and then talk about it without, you know, name calling and spitting,
hating each other,
throwing,
right?
Throwing chairs. Process. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, that's all right for you.
The listener you had made that comment about you being in bed with Libsyn. And it is a conflict of interest that you sell their service in a sense, right? You get it. This is where I think podcasters have to be careful. So I'm not calling you out specifically, but podcasters in general, when you have that affiliate relationship with a company and then you pimp them to the point where it seems like you're tipping, especially on a review. And this is why I think this is so hard to do. You're calling out a problem. You have a solution. You say this is the best, and yet you have an affiliate code. And that looks awful suspicious.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. That's why I was kind of like, to me, when I looked at the stats side by side, I was like, you know, I kind of like Blueberry stats just a little more. You know, I can't get the city stat. I don't think I could get that with Blueberry. But they just seemed a little easier to read. There's a couple pages in Libsyn Stats that you're like, what is this I'm looking at? And I remember when I did a webinar with Rob Walsh, and we kind of went over it, and he said, yeah, this is the area we get a lot of questions on, because it's the user agent or something like that, and it just isn't super clear as to what you're looking at. But yeah, it is kind of tricky about that. And that's, I thought about that. I'm like, well, and that's when I was like, well, you know, if I was in bed with Libsyn, I would have said they have the best stats. And I'm like, yeah. And I would have said, hey, there's this, you know, the blueberry thing of uploading directly from WordPress. Oh, who needs that? I'm like, no, that's actually makes it a lot easier.
Well, I don't think you can say that, Dave, because I don't think it matters. I mean, I think that's the conundrum. That's the conundrum we put ourselves into. That's the word of the day. That we put ourselves into as podcasters and having affiliate relationships is, once we start accepting affiliate codes, we no longer can be objective on some of those items. And no matter how much you say, I'm telling the truth or whatever, right?
Right.
There's always an element of a lack of accountability. And that's not the right word I want to use, but there's a unfairness, right? A biasness. There we go. There's always an element of biasness. So just a warning to maybe new or podcasters who are thinking about entering into these affiliate relationships. One, I think you always have to disclose that you're an affiliate, right? That you have an affiliate relationship with them. And I think we've been through that a couple times. Daniel talked about that on a couple of his shows. Daniel actually inspired me to put a message or a some text at the bottom of each one of my posts that says, these links may contain affiliate relationships, right? I mean, I have kind of a disclaimer at the bottom of each post. So I think it's hard. I think it's hard to say, and I think the point is well taken. That it's hard to say for Libsyn to come out at the top, so to speak, and yet we have an affiliate relationship. With your listeners, you have to be careful, because it brings in an element of biasness that some of them will sniff through, and you're just going to have to deal with that. It'll just be one. You're going to get comments like that.
Well, I did it this morning with saying, well, Pat Flynn is going to be selling a player. You kind of go, well, okay, now did he choose SoundCloud? Because there's it's easy to be somewhat skeptical. It's like, all right, is he doing this because he really likes it, or it just so happens that he has a player? So is it, you know, does Dave really like Libsyn, or is it just so happens that he gets a little commission if you use the coupon code SOP free? And it just so happens that Dave gets a coupon, you know, if SOP free at Blueberry works. What a coincidence. Those are the two that he recommends. So I can be the first to go, yeah, I would go right there with you. But that's why I went through, and there's actually a YouTube video where the Podbean stats are just like, wow, you're not even in the game, you know, the same, unless you want to spend, you know, $60, $79 a month, something like that for that. So I was trying to do that. So we do have a caller. So let me get them on. We're sitting here just gabbing away and ending in 8065. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Bill Conrad. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on Skype.
Cool.
So I Skype you, listen to you via the backside. Hey, a couple questions. First of all, I don't know if you noticed the hold. I was on hold for a while, and I also called up my iPhone. So that happened last week.
Okay, that was just me talking to Jim and not watching my screen. So I apologize for keeping you on hold.
No, big deal. I just learned that happened last week. I don't know how it exactly works. Hey, a couple of questions about the site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm multitasking here on my two computers. When you do this podcasting live, are you using a plugin?
No.
On your webpage on live?
What I do, in fact, Bill, you'll enjoy this. I'm making a video on how I do Ask the Podcast Coach for members of the School of Podcasting, and probably for members that are on my Patreon page. It's a nightmare, just for the record. I'm going to do it in stages, because part of it is just a mix minus. But I actually have two mix minuses going and things like that. But no, I go over, it's a Google Hangout. And even before the Hangout starts, you can get the embedded link. So if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, that's a page, not a post. It's a page in WordPress that I just go in every week at 10 o'clock and I grab the new code and paste it in there and update my website. And then I'm using Call-In Studio for the actual call-in part. The part that makes that fun is I'm using Magic Jack for the phone number to dial into the call-in studio that I'm now doing on my iPhone, which is connected, via an iRig. So hence, it's a bit of a nightmare. I was going to use a JK Audio. I got one sitting behind me. And a JK Audio kind of phone bridge that Cliff Ravenscraft uses. And I've had it for years. It sounds horrible. You have to get a hum eliminator to get it to even sound usable. And it was just more cables and cords. And I went, you know what? I like the fact that I can use my iPhone and use my Wi-Fi to connect to Magic Jack. And I'm like, it's easier. Sounds just as good. And it just, for me, it was less cables. Because now I had mic cables and now phone cables were getting tied into my mixer. And I just was like, you know what? This is gone. So that's all the tools I'm using. I'm using Call-In Studio, Google Hangout. And then the fun part is then I throw in Mixler and Spreaker, which is just taking the output out of my mixer and sending it to those sites.
Okay, that leads me down to chat. When you go on your webpage, how do you chat?
If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, we stream the audio via Mixler. And we thought about doing this. I actually set it up a couple weeks ago. And then at the last minute, I turned it off. We were going to use a thing called Chatwing, which is a really cool service that Jim uses when he does his, stuff for Gallup, I believe. And,
for both my site and for Gallup.
Yeah. And it's HTML5. It's, you know, you can see it on a phone and on an iPad. It was a case where we don't really dislike the chat that we're using in Mixler. It's the thing I love about it is it keeps almost all the responses and makes show notes a piece of cake. Cause I can just go back in the chat and grab somebody's content that way. Okay. So for me,
I just hit the Mixler button.
Yeah.
On my other computer.
Now you'll hear me. You'll hear me twice. Now you'll hear me once on the phone. That gets a little.
No, I can turn up here. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
There you go.
So you hear that. Yeah. So
what, so how do you chat back on Mixler?
On the player, there should be... Anybody want to answer that in the chat room? I don't...
Yeah, you'll see a little chat button. There's a bar down the right-hand side, and there'll be a little sound icon with a number. It'll say probably 18. Click on that, and it'll take you over to the chat page. Yeah.
Okay, what I did is I clicked and opened up the full page here, so there's a chat. You got quite a bit of chat going then?
Yeah, we've got how many people do we have in the chat? 2, 4, 6, 8
right now.
Yeah, and so yeah, you can chat there as well. So
you do have to sign in to get access to the chat room, but it's
there you go.
Got it.
There he is.
Yeah, the real question, you know, Dave, we've got a separate. So we've got video going on a Google Plus page and on YouTube. We've got the chat coming here in Mixler. You've got live streaming on your own page, you know, using a service like Chatwing. And I know we tried to switch over and then we were like, Mixler just works. But if you go to theaverageguy.tv/live, you'll see that's my live page. And that has the example of a YouTube page up top. And I do replace that code each week when I have a new show that's coming out. And then the Chatwing player is below that. And that's static code. You never have to change Chatwing. Once you've created a room for yourself,
right.
You can create as many chat rooms as you want. So if you have a couple different shows and you want a couple different chat rooms, you can do that as well. And then all you have to do is when you start the live show on the Google Hangout, you just grab that code, update the code on your live page, and in away you go.
Wow. Yeah. If we weren't using
last question.
Okay. Just let me make one quick point here while off of Jim's. If we weren't using Mixler, we'd probably be using Chatwing. But because we're already using it, we've already got kind of a built-in audience that shows up every week. God bless you guys. I was like, you know what? It ain't broke. I'm not going to fix it. So, okay. What's your other question?
Hey, that's good. Well, the mic just said, it is growing. This is pretty neat. This is actually very good. And the sound is excellent here. Hey, technical question. I'm sort of going in the next evolution of equipment. I bought the mixer, the Q,
mm-hmm.
the Behringer Q802 USB.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's the best way to go out in the field with two mics and record a show? Can I bring the mixer out?
You can. I mean,
I've got ATR 2100s. An RL5. Yeah.
Yeah, you could just, if you want to take your mixer with you, that's an easy way to do it. In some cases, depending on the scenario, you can just use the microphones built into the RO5. But yeah, you can, you know.
I did that.
Yeah, it depends on where you're going. There's pros and cons. You know, there's the whole, you know, getting it through security, you know, carry-on stuff, added additional for more microphones and things like that, and just wear and tear. And then there's, you know, ease of use. And usually the easier it is to use, the worse it sounds. You can also plug the mic into the RO5 and do a Bob Barker, which is where you talk into it and then you just do this and point the mic at that person.
I've got the two RL5s and I've got the two mic inputs. And I'm just going to plug those in, the RL5 into the Behringer, the mixer. Where do you plug in the I got the two ATR2100s. Mm-hmm. And I've got the mixer. Where do I plug in the RL5?
You take a cable like this on one end, and I don't have one sitting around here, but an RCA cable.
I can't wait. Hold a second. I got to turn you on the other side.
That's all right. But you get an RCA cable that's what I call 1/8 inch. Sometimes it's 3.5 millimeter. Take your pick. But it's basically one of these on one end, and by that I'm holding up an 1/8 inch. You know, it looks like a headphone jack on one end, and on the other end you have, I don't have one in my drawer here, but an RCA jack. So you can basically go right out of the tape out into the
RCA jack.
Yeah, and that's probably the easiest way I do it.
That's so, bingo. That does it, and that's the out, correct?
Yeah,
so that's the end.
No, the tape out.
No, the out.
It's always out to in. So the mixer out goes into the line in of the RO5.
You know, this is cool because I'm talking to you on Skype, but I'm looking at you a couple seconds later. I'm on my computers.
A little bit of a kung fu movie action going on where we're saying one thing and our lips are in another.
Oh, Godzilla! So,
Bill, if you go out, I do a lot of interviews. I do a lot of interviews this way. So if you go out to my site, theaverageguy.tv, and look for, I just recently did one at Infotech 2014. So you can, and I take a mixer with me. I don't find any easier way to get that done. So I have a little Alesis Multimix 4, a little tiny monitor. It's about 8 inches by about 6 inches. It's got two XLR inputs for it. And if you're going to do a person-to-person interview, it also attaches to your laptop via USB. And so you've got two microphones, two XLR cables. They go right into the mixer. The mixer attaches to the PC via USB. The PC recognizes that as a USB input for Google Hangouts. I start a live Hangout. I can broadcast live if I want to. Even if no one's watching, at least it's capturing my video and audio off that single laptop. You can attach a Logitech C920 if you want, which is what we do to get better, 1080p video out of it. I've got a little Cowboy Light Studio single light that I take with me. It fits in a box that's about 3 feet by about 4 inches square. It's really easy to get around. It's very portable. But for me, that's what I have found is the easiest setup to do. I can come off the board with a pair of headphones so I can actually hear what the mix is giving me. So I know if the guests are close enough to the microphones or not, if I'm getting good sound for them. It's just a slick setup to do it that way. I've got all that stuff. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/gear, I've got all the stuff that I use on that gear page. Don't buy it from there, but it's because those are all affiliate links. Just telling you in advance. But all that gear is out there. And if you want to contact me, I've got videos with examples of how I do it out there as well. So you can contact me directly. I can walk you through it. It's super easy.
Yeah. The other thing is somebody suggested in the chat here is I'm holding up a picture of a splitter. So it's a headphone jack on one end and two females on the other. And you can actually get a cable that is XLR on one end and 1/8 inch on the other. Now, I haven't tried this, but in theory, I could plug the cable here into that and then get two of these cables and a splitter and in theory have two RO5s, plugged in this way, and then that would just go into the RO5. Now, you're going to be really dependent on how that person holds the microphone. Let's assume that works, and I have no idea if it does or not. But if somebody talks really loud and the other person doesn't, okay, Mike Phillips, and I'm going to take his word for it. He says, bad idea. Yeah, I forget what I had. I had a little... Oh, it was red. It was the size of my thumb recorder back in like 2007 that people used to do that. I would also think it would mess up the input impedance of, okay. So never mind on that idea. I'm going to go with Mike on that. So, Alan mentions in the chat room here, unfortunately, one of his buttons broke on the RO5. Has anyone tried to get it fixed? Boy, that's a good question. Cause mostly, unfortunately in today's society, it's, trash it and get a new one.
Hey, two more quick questions.
All right.
I'm going to ask them, but on the RL5, you know, there are different settings.
Mm-hmm.
What, how do you determine what the best settings are?
Okay. In fact, you may not have checked it. In the Facebook group, I put this to your answer. What you want to do is, first of all, if you're using a mixer, plug your mixer in and adjust your volumes to where you get what I call a decent signal. So you have green blinking lights and occasional yellow ones. So you like good solid signal at the mixer. Plug it into the Roland, and on the left-hand side, let's see if I got enough. I can't do this here, but there is an input here. And so like right now, I'm actually recording this, so I'll do this live. Now, obviously for the audio people, but I'm going to turn this up and you'll see where I occasionally peaked there. There's a little red light, which I really shouldn't do because it's going to mess up the recording. But you basically jack it up till the peak light comes on and then press the input button a couple times down until it doesn't. And that means I'm getting a decent signal. Now, you can also look at it and try to see that. But I basically go up to where it peaks and back it down a couple. And from that point forward, you got a decent signal. Jim, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you got it there.
Yeah, so that's basically it. I do not, the only time I use the automatic gain control is if I'm doing something like a round table and I don't want to fiddle with riding the volume knob because for whatever reason, their automatic gain control is great if you're like recording a live band and it's just really, really loud. I have found for recording, it to me, I want a little more signal. They really make sure you don't peak, which is fine, but the lower the signal, the more, think of it as a glass, right? If you have a glass and you either fill it to the top with water, but the less water is in there, there's more room for air. Well, with sound, you either have sound or you have hiss. So the less sound you have in that span for your signal, the more hiss you're going to introduce. And what happens then is when you then go back and turn it up so that the actual sound is louder, you're also turning up the hiss. So then you have to go in and try to take out the hiss. And in the process, you end up kind of ending up with a sound that in some cases is kind of mushy, for lack of a better phrase. So, but yeah, that would be how to do it.
Out of here.
Okay.
Hey, last question. On the mixer, you've got the USB out. It's a really nice little mixer that Q802 USB. When you plug that in the backside of the computer, what is that picking up?
Jim, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so it's picking up everything, to be honest with you. So if you've got a Google Hangout going on, and it will pick up both sides of the conversation for you. So anything that's playing on that PC that's coming out through that USB, you know, when you plug that mixer into the PC, it's going to create its own sound bridge, let's just call it that, right? It becomes a sound card, basically, for the PC. And so you can direct certain outputs to it and certain inputs to it as well. So it, because it's going to give you both sides, it's going to give an input and an output on there. And so anything that's playing on that, that's set up through that. So like right now I'm coming through, I've got a Alesis Multimix 8 that's connected via USB to this. And I can hear me and my voice back because I'm listening back on the headphones, but I'm also hearing Dave through it as well. So This has been a point of contention a little bit. I don't run a traditional mix minus in my setups because you don't, where I use cables, because you can make that happen with a USB connection on your mixer. Some people choose not to use that because that USB causes a hum. I haven't had that experience. And so I'm running a USB mixer, no mix minus, traditional mix minus. I'm ultimately getting a mix minus back because I'm hearing myself and Dave through the setup without having to, you know, so that's working. But yeah, plug it in and it acts just like a sound card, and in a lot of ways, and you can control all the input and output and record right off of it. So I think that mixer has a mic out or a headphone out or an out or a send.
Yeah.
And you can actually come off that channel and plug it right into a digital recorder and record everybody. Now it's single channel at that point for the most part, but every, you know, your mileage may vary, but you can do it that way as well.
Yeah. The, think of it is, you know, on the top of that mixer, you have a main out that, you know, a left and right. Well, basically the USB is just a main out. It's a way to connect it to the computer. So whatever you hear in your headphones is basically what's going to the mixer.
Yeah, Mike Phillips says it might say tape out. Yeah. On the newer ones, it says track out. You've got a variety of options, you know, on this. And so I just monitor the feed. I have a headphone jack, you know, I come off the phone jack out of the mixer and run that right into my earbuds. And I hear the complete mix of everybody that's in the hangout, as well as I hear my own voice back, which is really key for me.
So if you plug in the back of the ATR2100, you only get one side.
You're doing an XLR into there, right? The 2100, that mixer generally coming out of any of the feeds out is going to be a mono, is going to be the single feed of everything going through the mixer. You're not going to be able to split those channels down.
That was going to be one of my questions. So
I'm talking about listening through your headset.
No,
it's stereo through the headset.
Yeah. So there's a button on your mixer called.
When you plug into the 2100, can you hear it?
Yeah, you'll hear it in the headphones of the headphones on the ATR2100 only work when it's plugged in via USB. So if you plug it in via XLR, you'll then listen on the headphones of your mixer. And there's a button on the mixer called pan that you'll see if you talk into the microphone and turn it left and turn it right, you'll hear your voice go from one side to the other. So Jim, just to clarify on something, when I plug the USB into the computer, I can't pan my microphone.
No, you absolutely can. What you can't do, you won't get multi-track. So at least on some of the lower end versions of these mixers, mm-hmm. it's going to be single track. Now, I hesitate on even saying this because every mixer is different. Bill, let me encourage you. This is where testing your stuff out is really helpful. You just got to spend 5 hours with your mixer figuring it all out. There's going to be no video Dave can make that will substitute just sitting down and figuring all the bells and whistles of your mixer.
Yeah. Somebody asked me.
I appreciate your time this morning because you pointed me in the right direction.
Well, and Bill, now that you can say it, where can we find your podcast?
Well, you can start at BLUFTV.com and it'll point you to the different ones. I've got several of them now.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say, I just saw your post where you now have one in iTunes, so you're up and running. And I'm like, all right, way to go, woo-hoo. Bill. Woo, that's right. That deserves a little.
Politics of Success is actually very good.
Woo! Yeah.
PoliticsofSuccess.com. And I've got a bunch of other ones coming down the line. Hey, one last thing. I one of the neatest things that happened is that one tech guy in Reno, who is a WordPress guru, came to me to ask to create a podcast.
Well, there you go.
So he'll help me. He'll help me a lot on WordPress down the road.
Sounds like a plan. Awesome, Bill. Hey, man, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
I'll go back to normal now without the delay, which blows my brain.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks, Bill.
I love Bill to death. He's a great guy. Great veteran, by the way. The guy served over in Afghanistan. And Bill's middle name should be. I have one more question.
Yeah.
And I wait for it and I love it. He's such a great guy. It's always like, oh, you know, I'm going to ask you one more. I'm like, no, and he always apologizes. I'm like, it's okay.
He knows how to use his resources.
He's a great guy. He really is a super duper guy. Sure.
It's one of those things. There's no substitute for just testing and messing around with your stuff. You know, you just got to not be afraid. There's almost always a reset button of some kind. You almost can never mess things up. This is, we talked about podcasting accountability partners way back. This is where this is really key. Anytime Mike Howard and I get new equipment, we call each other and we'll spend an hour or two together just hanging on the line, testing various things. Okay, how does this sound? Does this sound okay? What's this? There's no substitute for that kind of, you know, that kind of practice and testing. Mike Phillips says, read the manual. That's key as well. As much as you don't want to do that.
What are you talking about?
Read the manual.
I'm American. I don't read the manual.
With a mixer, they do so many things. Yeah. And
especially
and
when it's so cool. 37 different languages. That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah. When I found out, you know, there's two versions of the multi-mix. I use a Solesis multi-mix 8. I've got the $99 version, which is not the multi-channel USB. There's a $250 version that actually through USB, you can get with software that they include in there. You can get multi-channel throughput. So I can break each one of my channels down in a program they provide, and I can get that every channel is just recording. Some guys really like that. But you only know that if you do the research and figure it out, read the manuals and those kinds of things before going in. So we test the crap. Mike says I like to test the crap out of things before we go live. he's really good about that. He pushes me to do it more. In fact, I'm upgrading the studio PC this weekend. I'm going from a Core i3 530 to a Core i7 4770 chip, and I'm going from 8 gig of RAM to 16 gig of RAM, and I'm going from a smaller, you know, I have an SSD on there, 120 gig SSD to a 250 gig SSD, and so kind of upgrading the studio PC. Before I even put that thing in, you know, I had this yesterday, last night, I'm like, ooh, I could switch this over before I ask the podcast. Right? And it took every fiber of my being
not to do it
because I didn't want to mess up. I mean, this is a tested connection. I don't ever mess with this PC for the most part. It is my studio PC and I don't dinker around with it for the most part. And if I do, I'll do it. I should do it today after the show because I know my next podcast isn't until Thursday. So I've got 5 days to fix it. Trust me, you don't want to go into a podcast panicked because you can't get something working and you're like, it worked last week.
Yeah.
But you changed something. You know, I know that's your challenge too, Dave, because you're always messing around
I'm always messing with stuff. And I had somebody earlier this week, they had bought some sort of Behringer mixer and it had a one knob compressor on it. And they said, you know, how do I know where to set this? And I go, you plug your headphones in, you talk, you twist the knob. And when one way, you know, if turning it to the left sounds better than turn it to the right, then turn it to the left. It's in some cases, you just got to, you know, listen with your ears. That's another one that I've learned. Don't always go by the lights and blinkies.
And like, I don't mess with any of the effects, right? All the boards have effects, but for podcasting, you don't need them. Set them to zero for the most part. Set them to zero, turn it off. Don't monkey around with it. You know, you can, but certainly monkey around. I mean, depending on the effect or high, mid, low. What do we call that?
EQ
mix. EQ. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. The EQ mix might be different. You can mess around with that. You know, there's various things. I leave most of the effects off.
Yeah. I heard somebody, I hadn't heard this in a long time, but somebody found the reverb knob and I was like, wow, that's really not needed. And they just were so in the cave. And I was like, yeah. I remember when radio used to do that. There was a late night FM guy and he'd be like, all right, welcome to WNIR. And it was like, R, R, R. It's like, where are you, man?
Yeah. It's tough, you know, but you got to find your own space in there, but you can do this kind of thing.
There you go. I can almost understand you now.
Yeah. But you can do that on the mixer. And I keep my basses pretty high pretty low because I've already got a lot of bass in my voice.
There you go. So, well, hey, I'm looking at the clock and we want to thank everybody for tuning in. I should probably mention that this show is brought to you by the School of Podcasting.com, where you can save by using the coupon code ASK20 on your first month at the School of Podcasting. So if you're looking to start your podcast, I'd be more than happy to help you. And of course, if you have any questions, you can always come here every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm making up new time zones as we speak.
It's okay. You're your own planet.
And, you know, it's always, like I said, it's a lot of fun. I look forward to doing this show. And thanks to the chat room. And thanks to Bill and Steve for calling in. It's kind of cool because I really used to worry that nobody was going to call in. We usually get a couple callers. And Bill, double thanks for you for hanging on hold for forever. It is... I got so many things to pay attention to. I got a chat room. I got the call-in thing. I'm watching Jim because you're just so dang sexy. And so
now we're getting close.
So thanks so much, everybody. And we will see you again next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.